Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I believe here on Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. I don't know why I was signing that. There's nobody else in the room with me except the cat. Anyways, if you don't feel like calling in, get on over to, where are we going? Go to sportstimeradio.com. Yeah, that's where you want to go. Check out all the content there. You never just kind of know when stuff is going to randomly go up, but you do get new blogs on Wednesday and Saturdays. Of course, don't forget, you can also email the show, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Dan thought I forgot that one. He was going to yell at me when I was done with this. But back to sportstimeradio.com, there's a link there. You can follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Twitter feed. We didn't forget about that one either. That's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan is the Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan, when you get into, I guess, it's a sort of serious sports story, but it's actually incredibly humorous when I think about it. If you remember back, and it's been a while now, people, you got to think back, you know, May, June, coming up to UFC 200, they were just in a hole. They didn't have a quality main event for the pay-per-view. They were probably actually just better off canceling it. But what they decided to do was reach out to Brock Lesnar and allow him to not basically have to pass a drug test to qualify to do his fight. So Brock agreed for a $2.5 million purse that he would fight Mark Hunt at UFC 200 back on July 9th. Now, Lesnar won the fight, but afterwards, the Nevada State Athletic Commission had him take a drug test, which, of course, he failed miserably. He failed for multiple sources, but the one they're tagging him with is an anti-estrogen drug called, I'm going to butcher this, clomiphene. So, and this, the test was actually taken about a week before the fight, but he also tested for it on the fight night. You have to take your test there. He did that too. So now what they did to Brock Lesnar, and now I want to remind you that his purse was $2.5 million for the fight. He was fined $250,000. He was suspended 1 year. This is actually officially just in Nevada. And his victory was changed to a no contest. Dan, the biggest question I have for you is, does Brock Lesnar even give a crap about this?
maybe the fine, but changing it to a no contest, no, he doesn't care. Suspended for a year, and what does that matter?
Yeah. And now to on odd footing, Mark Hunt, who got beat in the fight, his purse was $700,000. So that's kind of how that worked out. When you have a name like Brock Lesnar and you do make TV appearances on WWE, you can get a $2.5 million purse for just showing up. Now the way it was described here, this is interesting. It says, as a previously retired fighter, which Lesnar technically was, he was supposed to be subjected to a four-month drug testing window under the UFC's anti-doping program with the United States Anti-Doping Agency. The UFC waived that requirement, however, citing exceptional circumstances. Dan, I believe those exceptional circumstances were the fact that they knew there was no chance in hell Brock Lesnar was passing a drug test, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I just thought that was kind of an interesting story when I saw it pop up, and it's like, yeah, so what? He's suspended for a year, technically only in Nevada. You know, it's the Nevada State Athletic Commission that's suspending him. I don't think there's any plans whatsoever for Lesnar to fight again. You know, yeah, I'm sure it probably sucks that he lost, you know, 10% of his purse, but, you know, even so, you know, or what is that? Maybe that's a little more than that, but even so, you know, he still made over $2 million for the fight. You know, it's not like, you know, he's going to be hurting for money here anytime soon. So I just thought that was a interesting story. Now there was another UFC fine today, Dan. You got to go back all the way just to August for this one. When they did the press conference for UFC 202, that was the rematch, Nate Diaz against Conor McGregor. You know, they had their, you know how these press conferences go now, you know, everybody hems and haws, and, you know, it gets heated. And I saw like a boxing one where a guy threw a table. It was kind of humorous. Well, you know, being obviously Conor McGregor there with Nate Diaz, just got a little heated. Diaz threw, I believe it was a water bottle McGregor. Yeah, and your fine for throwing a water bottle at a press conference, Dan, is $50,000.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was that was Diaz's fine. I believe McGregor picked up a much smaller fine, like $15,000 for retaliating and throwing stuff back at Diaz. Diaz did make $2 million from that fight. So it's a 2.5% of what he made from fighting McGregor in August is what he lost. I'm sure, again, he thinks that's probably well worth it. But oddly, apparently what goes along with this fight is Diaz has to do 50 hours of community service. So I did not know the State Athletic Commission could hit you with community service like the court could. But yeah, apparently he has to log 50 hours of community service time.
And 50 grand? That's hilarious.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. My guess is sooner or later we'll get McGregor Diaz 3 because it is 1-1. You know, Diaz won the first fight. McGregor won the second fight. You know, everybody's saying, no, we're not going to do a third one. You know, Dan, somewhere down the line, they're doing a third fight. So. But, yeah, that's basically, you know, that's basically, yeah, that's not in here. Apparently, McGregor not only threw, what did they say here? McGregor threw not only threw full bottles of water, but cans as well. Now, they don't disclose if they were full cans, but if you're throwing a full can of anything at me, I think you should get the bigger fine, don't you?
Yeah. It's going to hurt more.
So, and I actually was wrong on McGregor's fine. It wasn't $15,000. It was $150,000. Of course, he made $3 million for that second fight with Diaz. So there you go. And now they actually disclose how they're going to split McGregor's fine up. They don't do that with anybody else's. $75,000 of it goes to the state of Nevada. So basically what they're saying is it's going in some politician's pocket, or maybe they'll split it up between each other. And the other $75,000, Dan, is earmarked for a public service announcement. Dude, for $75,000, that better be the best damn public service announcement ever. And I just want to know, is it about throwing cans and bottles?
Yeah, don't do this.
So, yeah, because they don't explain, you know, what the public service announcement is going to be about. They just say that's what it's going to go for. I don't think we've seen that public service announcement yet. I'm expecting we never will, is that other $75,000 will probably find a way into somebody else's kitty or pocket or child's, you know, college education, like the guy in Chicago that just got busted here for. So sadly, that's just kind of the way the political world goes. It sounds good, and then it just never works out that way. But, yeah, so it was fine day in the UFC, apparently. They just were going to fine everybody and go that route. So aren't you glad you're not a UFC fighter now, Dan, after all that?
I wouldn't have threw the bottle of wine.
So what was I forgot, actually, Dan, we actually kind of ran out of time yesterday. When I was talking to you about the football stuff that I found humorous, I forgot to get into the story that it must have been, I think it was 2 weeks ago now, it might have been three, when the Giants were playing the Steelers in a game the Steelers won. The Giants found two footballs that had been used in the game by the Steelers offense. Oh, you know where I'm going here, Dan, that were underinflated. Yes, Deflategate 2. Apparently, you know, the NFL football has to be filled to about 11.5 pounds or something like that, pounds per square inch or whatever you're measuring air in. And these were down under 10. Yeah, the Giants sent this to the NFL, but now the funny thing about this, Dan, the NFL said they're not going to pursue anything because the Giants did not file a formal complaint. Dan, if you're the New England Patriots, aren't you on top of the mountain screaming bloody murder right now? Because it was witch hunt when you got it. You know, you're almost a lawyer working for a law firm. Do the Patriots have any repercussions here? Anything they can do legally that you can think of?
Well, I mean, they could try, but
you know, I mean, they were hit with a big fine. They lost, you know, they lost draft pick. Tom Brady lost 4 games. You know, and here we're getting the BS that, well, you know, we're not going to pursue it because they didn't file. Any kind of complaint. Yeah. Okay. Great. Thanks. I'm just happy for you. So yeah, is that's blasphemy, Dan? Is that what you would call that? They were just going after the Patriots for being the Patriots.
Pretty much. I mean, and it was part of the Patriots' fault for accepting that fine.
Yeah. You know, I think they fought it for as long as they could, and then eventually just kind of, I think you just want to get it over with. I mean, I think it was $250,000 or something like that. And, you know, to an NFL team, you know, that's like you pulling $5 out of your wallet. You know, that's nothing.
Oh. Yeah, but the draft pick and, I mean, what's the name? Yeah,
I think that's, I would have fought a little more with the draft pick. And now, you know, Brady did everything he could. He fought the suspension for a year before he finally lost the case in court. So, you know, I think he extended all his options. But, yeah, if they would have said, I'm taking your draft pick, I'd have been like, no, you're not. You know, you ain't taking nothing. Get out of here. So, but, yeah, it was just kind of weird to see that, you know, well, Pittsburgh does it. Okay, well, we're not going to do anything to Pittsburgh. We're not going to look into this. You know, maybe they just didn't feel like paying Ted Wells millions of dollars again to investigate it. You know, because you know the minute he heard about the case, he was sitting next to his phone waiting for it to ring. You know, he was holding that cell phone in his hand going, come on, Roger, call me, buddy. I'm right here for you. I need some more $1 million in my bank account for basically nothing. NFL just makes you happy.
It's confusing, and it's like the mafia.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of is, except, you know, it's just dealing with, well, depending on which mafia you're talking about, it's just dealing with probably larger scale money here, unless it's, you know, the cartel or something. So, but, you know, while we kind of have the Patriots on topic here, you know, I mentioned yesterday about the Cardinals releasing Michael Floyd. Well, the Patriots claimed him on waivers. So he is going to get a second chance right away, and it's going to be in New England. So, you know, I was thinking maybe he'd have to sit out the rest of the season, you know, be at the last three games or whatever. But, yeah, no, he's going right to New England. It hasn't been stated if he'll play at all this week. I would be a little surprised if he does, depending on how quickly he can pick up the offense, but you never know. So yeah, that's where he ended up, Dan. That didn't take long, huh?
No, you and I both knew he was going to get picked up.
So, yeah, but were you expecting it to be New England? I think that might surprise me more than anything. I don't think I was expecting them to make the move, even though they've done this before.
I mean, why not? Just pick up anybody who's worth picking up.
Yeah, well, you know, for them, you know, it's worked out. You know, Randy Moss did really well there for a year. You know, I think Chad Johnson even performed pretty well for them. So, but, I'm thinking, Dan, maybe the Giants didn't pursue that Deflategate story because they themselves are technically under NFL investigation right now for the use of a two-way handheld radio in the fourth quarter of their Sunday night victory over the Dallas Cowboys.
Was it
so,
not
yes,
an NFL
apparently,
radio? Is that what it is?
Yeah, well, yeah, apparently the way it's described here, and this doesn't really make a lot of sense, Giants coach Ben McAdoo, who I believe is their offensive coordinator, they don't list his job title here, it says he was seen using a walkie-talkie to relay plays to quarterback Eli Manning when the Giants were having problems with their headsets early in the fourth quarter. Now, by NFL rule, coaches are not allowed to hold any two-way radios during a game. Now, it doesn't say why. It just says, you know, that they're not allowed to. Here we go. There's the rule is down here a little bit. The rule is in place because walkie-talkies provide nonstop access to the quarterback's headset and cannot be cut off by the league's cutoff switch operator. League rules state that communication between the quarterback and the sidelines must be cut off when 15 seconds remain on the play clock. So yeah, there's the reason. Because they can't cut you off.
So that you don't get, well, because they want you to catch the delay again.
Yeah, well, you know, if you can continue to talk to him in the headset and he can hear you, he can tell you what the defense is. You know, he can tell you what kind of defensive set they're in and what you need to look for. So, oh, and apparently I didn't know that Ben McAdoo was the Giants head coach. I think he was offensive coordinator last year. That may have been where I went wrong. So, but yeah, it's you know, just again, one of those odd NFL rules. Now, the funny thing about it is the backup quarterback is actually allowed to hold a two-way radio on the sidelines, but he's not allowed to talk into it. So I wonder if the NFL has a guy there that just monitors him, making sure he doesn't speak into the radio. So
it just makes no sense.
Yeah, it's just kind of humorous when you when you get into this. It was just kind of like, okay, That's an odd rule to have. I never really thought about it at the time, but you know, this is the NFL where cheating is incredibly proficient and teams will do it until, you know, they get caught. So it's kind of how things go. Right. Well, yeah. Well, it's also not cheating if you don't get caught, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I guess technically it might still be cheating. You're just doing it really well.
Well, you know, there's the law and there's not the law. As long as you follow
right.
The law, you're okay.
And there's those little gray areas in between that you can find ways to sneak in and slide in. And the Giants didn't score while McAdoo was holding the walkie-talkie, so I don't think it's going to end up being any type of issue at all. I just thought it was kind of humorous. So, but we do have a fantastic game on the schedule tonight, Dan. The Los Angeles Rams, coming off their embarrassing loss to the Atlanta Falcons, get the enjoyment of going to Seattle, where the Seahawks are coming off their embarrassing loss to the Green Bay Packers last week. I saw you put your pick in. Would you like to tell everybody who you're going with to win tonight?
The Seahawks. Right.
Yeah, I picked the Seahawks as well. So did Schomburg's too. As always, it's only 10-6 here locally, so I'm still waiting for Mr. Fantasy's pick. Kickoff is 7:25, so I will probably get it. I think last week I got his pick at 7:05. So it does take a little while for him to, you know, make his adjustments and remember that there is a game. And he's still very bitter about the one Thursday he forgot to give me his pick and I gave him a loss because he told me it was obvious that he would have picked the team that won. And I was kind of like, well, you know, I can't assume that. You know, I can't assume that that's going to be your pick. You know, I don't know if you're going with an upset or, you know, something like that. But I fully expect a Seahawk blowout tonight. You know, the Rams just changed coaches. They're on a short week. They don't have a lot of time to prepare. But at least they're going with, like, throwback 70s uniforms. Did you see what the Seahawks are wearing?
No.
Yeah, good Lord. It's like radioactive green or something. But the sad part is I actually kind of dig it. So are you going to partake in the game on Twitter again? I believe, did you do that last week?
Yeah, you know, I kind of, you know, like I said, when I got home, oddly sometimes my notifications don't transfer over from my phone to the iPad. So I went to go clear my notifications off the iPad and it said, watch the game. So I just clicked on it. And to me, it's pretty cool because, you know, like if you're on the app, you can have the game scroll up across the top and be scrolling across the bottom, you know, going through Twitter. Or you could just maximize it and watch the game right off of Twitter. So, I mean, I don't really use a computer as much anymore, but, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to go to the gym tonight, seeing as my bus is 35 minutes late. So, but, you know, if I were, I could just prop my phone up on the treadmill, turn on Twitter, and the game's right there. I mean, it's a hell of a lot easier than, you know, trying to go to my NBC Go app and, you know, going through all that stuff. You just push Twitter. I mean, if you don't have to go to bed right away, you should just try it for 2 seconds. Just open the app on your tablet or your phone even, and the game's right there. So, I mean, I think what this really is good for are, you know, like the guys that we've worked with from FanSided or any of those kind of blogs and obviously for the, the beat reporters for the Giants. Well, I don't know, they'd actually be at the game, but you know, all the reporters that don't go to the game, you could be sitting there watching your scroll and kind of post right there. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, it would be fantastic to attempt to try to do, but yeah, that's about the time I've got to break down and then possibly go to bed since, you know, I'm getting up at, you know, 10:15-ish now and stuff for the next pro. Fortunately, it's probably only for another week, but I think there's only one more Thursday night game after this. I think week 16 is the end. They don't do one week 17, so... I don't know. Maybe they'll do the set that, you know, they've got some Saturday games. Maybe they'll do that and I can check it out for one of them. Cause there's a Saturday game this week. What is it? It's the Jets and the Dolphins. So
maybe they'll try that. Yeah. I was wondering why in the Google sheet when I always break it up by day. So I thought that was weird. I'm like, oh, why is there a space between these three games? You know, I didn't realize there was a Saturday game.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how it is when, you know, college football ends, the NFL tries to fill that void a little bit, and they, you know, they give us a Saturday night game, or sometimes, you know, you get two, you get the late afternoon game and then a night game. So that's always exciting. Well, I want to check here.
It's going to throw off everybody for Christmas Eve, being that all the games will be played on Saturday, since the NBA owns.
Yeah, it's everything. Well, there are two Sunday games. They have the Ravens at the Steelers are a 3:30 start. Oddly, it's an NFL Network game. And then they do have their usual night game on NBC, which is the Broncos and the Chiefs. But yeah, it's weird looking at the schedule and you see Saturday. Oh, wait, everything's on Saturday. So maybe I can get Mr. Fantasy to give me his picks for the Friday show next week and we can do them all. You know, you and I can do them together, or maybe he could join us and we could all do them together. So, you know, I know that's it's a little difficult for him. You know, he's not used to his schedule being thrown off like that, but we'll see if we can, you know, we can get him to deal with that. Cause I'm sure being, you know, it's the Friday before Christmas, he's probably only working a 15 or 16 hour day at his job. So he should be available. Right?
Yeah.
So now, you know, they were talking today, Dan, do you have any concern that, like, you know, Sunday when the Bears host the Packers, it's going to be like -2 or something. It may be the coldest game in Chicago Bear history. Does that affect your feelings for the game?
No. The only thing that affects my feelings is laughing and listening to everyone in Chicago. I've yet to hear Mike and Mike, and I haven't really listened to any national broadcast. But like I said, I keep dying laughing at everyone in Chicago trying to convince me that Alshon Jeffries is the number one quarterback or running a wide receiver. You know, they keep pointing to, well, you know, Brandon, Alshon Jeffrey, you know, was him because it's Brandon Marshall. Now Alshon Jeffrey is an Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, I don't see, even if Kevin White played or you had anybody, he's only a number one by default. If it were he and another quality receiver at his caliber, he wouldn't be getting triple teams.
Right. When Brandon Marshall was here, he wasn't the guy they were trying to stop. So.
No. And in the games that I watched, he wasn't being treated like Brandon Marshall. He, you know, they weren't fearing him. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, everyone's like, oh, he's very talented. Well, you have to be talented to make it in the NFL. But when you're the winner by default, it doesn't convince me that he's going to be worth $20 million over the next two seasons. And I think anyone who signs him to that, thinking he's going to be their number one, you know, they're going to figure it out. They're going to,
yeah.
You know, maybe they could get out of it. I don't know. I just trying to sell me on the fact that some other team is going to go scooping up Alshon Jeffries and making them his number one. I mean, I think he would be a high quality number two to whatever team he does go to if the Bears decide to not re-sign him.
Yeah, there's a chance somebody's going to make a very high priced mistake with him. You know, and it happens. You know, the Niners did this. The 49ers did this. Well, I don't know if it was one season or two seasons ago. You know, they jumped all over Torrey Smith in free agency because he was supposed to be a breakout type of number one receiver. Well, even if you're a number one receiver, if you don't have the proper offense to fit in, it doesn't matter what kind of receiver you are, because, you know, they need to block for your quarterback. The quarterback needs to get you the ball. You know, obviously you have to catch it. There's a whole lot of things that go into this. So it's just kind of like, okay, great. You know, what do we do here? But yeah, I'm just under the impression that somebody will really make a big mistake here and just end up giving him too much money in too many years, and I just don't think he'll be a number one.
No, I mean, it's just killing me. You know, yesterday morning, yesterday on the way to the gym after work, you know, and the Cubs won the World Series and all that hoopla, he's kind of done and over with, and I was very disappointed that all the lawyers in my office left for over an hour and a half today, and I completely forgot that the trophy was literally across the street from me at City Hall. So I dropped the ball on that one. Yeah. I didn't realize that until 5 as I was leaving. But, I mean, over the last, this whole week, I get it. We're Bears Town, and everyone's kind of, now the whole draft talk is coming up, but trying to tell me that Alshon Jeff convinced me that he's a number one. I mean, do they not watch the same thing we watch?
Yeah, well, you know, he was starting to look like it, you know, but I wonder how much, you know, like I said, that had to do with the fact that Brandon Marshall was on the opposite side of him. You know, and you started to look at him slowly, but surely he looks like he's going to mature into a number one receiver. You know, how much of it, again, you know, how much of it is Jay Cutler? You know, now he's got Matt Barkley throwing to him. You know, he's had guys like Brian Hoyer and Jimmy Clausen. You know, you wonder if, you know, maybe if he signs with the right team and he gets the right quarterback, maybe he does become that number one. But normally that's not where these guys end up going. So yeah. It'll definitely be something to watch, you know, as NFL free agency kicks off, because I don't see the Bears franchising him again, because I believe you can do it 2 years in a row. And I also don't see the Bears coughing up the money it's going to take to keep him. I mean, they don't really have a need for him.
I wouldn't. I mean,
so
regardless of who quarterbacks next year, be it Cutler or Barkley or whoever, I just don't think it's definitely – Kevin White should be back, and he should play at least 5 games. Drum roll, I'm going to have to get that off of YouTube. Right? He should be in at least 5 games all year. I don't know, but I feel like with the direction the Bears are going, whoever the quarterback is, you could spread it around. You don't really need that target.
You know, and there will be guys that they'll be able to bring in with, you know, some veteran status that aren't going to cost them anywhere close to what Jeffries is going to cost. You know, it'll be interesting because, you know, like both the Redskins wide receivers, Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson, are going to be free agents. You know, maybe one of them comes here for a modest deal, you know, to be the number one for a year or maybe two as the Bears try to rebuild. You know, or maybe there's somebody later in the draft that, you know, they could find. You know, I know a guy like Terrell Pryor is going to hit the free agent market. He's having a great year, but I don't think his numbers are going to be in where the Bears are going to be. But, you know, there will be guys out there, you know, and this isn't counting cuts or anything, because there's always guys who get cut because of salary. So, you know, they'll be able to find a guy to come in and, you know, handle the role Jeffrey has handled. I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. So, you know, we'll just have to see what they decide to do. So, yeah. But I did get a kick out of this, Dan. I seem to get most of enjoyment out of stuff that's kind of, you know, I don't even know if you want to call it stupidity or how you want to call it, but there's this guy's name is David Schoenfeld, or Field maybe. He's a blogger for something called Sweet Spot. And he's defending the Washington Nationals, so my guess is he's a fan. I don't know why the Mickey Mouse Network picks a guy up like this to put him on his website and not me. But he's trying to defend them from Adam Eaton trade. Because, as you know, the Eaton trade was roundly viewed as the White Sox fleecing the Nationals. You know, he's trying to put it off on the fact that Eaton has 5 years of control left on his contract. But what he doesn't mention is the fact that the three guys the White Sox got in return are going to have a combined 21 maybe years of control total.
Wow.
Because I think it's 7 years before, is it, or, you know, maybe it's only 15. Maybe it's 5 years and then you get to arbitration. But, yeah, I'm just trying to read this here. And now the one thing the Nationals did get is they did get a good deal on Eaton because he's only due about $40 million left on his contract. Now, you know, Dexter Fowler just got $82.5 million, and Ian Desmond just got $70 million. But what I find interesting is he says Adam Eaton is a better player than both of those guys. My guess is he didn't really look at Ian Desmond's numbers last year before he typed that sentence. You know, while Eaton is a little better than Dexter Fowler, he's not better than Ian Desmond. Is he, or do you think maybe he is better than both?
No, I mean, he supposedly had a voice in the locker room, but he wasn't the, quote, locker room leader for the White Sox. And I think the biggest reason he and Sale were moved was because they weren't clubhouse friendly. You know, be it, you don't speak out against the front office kind of thing. And,
well,
I think this kind of works for both of them. I think that's the biggest reason they decided that they're going to do the, quote, rebuild, was because they didn't like the fact that they were being called out for what they were doing. And, you know, I'm sure the media called them out enough, but you've got to wonder what else was said by these two men in the locker room. And, but we're going back to Adam Eaton. If he was better than, you know, Fowler and Desmond and much greater, I mean, you know, the Cubs obviously dominated the talk in Chicago, but if he was so great, how come we didn't hear more about him?
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, he had a good year. You know, he's a quality player. You know, he'll be a really good fit for the Nationals. I don't doubt that at all. But he wasn't worth.
No.
To be fair, you know, we don't know what these guys are going to end up being. You know, if they're all busts, the Nationals got the steal here. You know, if a couple of them work out, well, then obviously that's a big key to the White Sox. And if Giolito really is that pitcher they talked about, now I know he stunk in his late call-up, but it was a small sample size. And, you know, he refers to that here, too. He tries to hold that against him. He calls it a rough initial trial in the majors. You know, Dan, I guess people forgot that, you know, in Mike Trout's first September call-up, I think he hit .125 or something like that. Nobody ever brings that up anymore, okay? Those things happen when you get these short sample sizes with players. It's their first look. You know, it's just one of those things. It's going to happen to players. They're adjusting to the big leagues. It doesn't matter how Giolito pitched last year. It matters what he develops into, what Lopez develops into, and if Dane Dunning becomes anything. If they do, well, the White Sox fleece the Nationals. If they all bust, then the Nationals got the better end of the deal. So, you know, in the end,
no, finish your thought.
You know, in the end, does it help the Nationals get closer to the Cubs in the National League? I don't think so. You know, I don't think Adam Eaton makes that kind of difference. Do you?
No, I mean, from the plate side of it, you're looking at a career 284 hitter over the last two seasons with the White Sox. He struck out combined of 100 or 246 times. He's not an RBI guy. Well, that's what you expect up at the top.
Yeah.
You know, and he's over the last two seasons, he averaged 175 hits. So he's going to get on base. He's just under 100 runs. So he's going to score. But at the same time, for a guy you expect to be at the top of the order, I know stolen bases don't mean anything because, you know, he hasn't even hit 40 over the last 2 years. So I don't understand how a guy of this caliber, and you, like you said, you don't ever know how the prospects are going to work out, but a guy of this caliber to give up three prospects for, and, you know, two of them are supposed to be two of your top, I don't see how that is a balanced equation.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, he does fit the Nationals. You know, they needed a leadoff hitter. They needed a center fielder. So, they worked that, you know, they worked all that out. They filled their needs there. But, man, it seems like they gave up a lot to get that need. And, of course, you know, like any trade, we're not going to know until, you know, we actually see these guys. So, you know, it'll take a little time, but. You know, maybe it's a great trade for the White Sox. Maybe it's a great trade for the Nationals. Maybe it works out for both teams. You know, we'll see. But, you know, in the end, I think the object of the deal for the Nationals was they're a contender. They need to get to the playoffs. They need to win a World Series. I don't know if making this move helps them because the bottom of the rotation isn't that strong, and that's where guys like Giolito and Lopez could have helped them. You know, I mean, if you can run out a healthy Steven Strasburg with a Max Scherzer, you know, you got Joe Ross hanging around who looks like he might be a guy. You know, Gio Gonzalez is still there. You know, you know it looks because the teams just love, you know, six starters now. If Giolito or Lopez worked out and you could fill the bottom of the rotation with these young, big-time arms, well, you know, then you're a contender. But I don't know if they're going to have enough pitching now to win a series because we saw how important pitching was really in these playoffs. And, I just don't know. I mean, they really deleted, the pitching in their farm system. So, you know, we'll see how it works out for them. And I know they got a couple guys back from the Angels for Espinosa, but they're, you know, borderline prospects, if that. So, I just don't know. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous, and I'm dying to know if that guy's a National fan.
I mean,
but now, you know, Dan,
when Bryce's up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be the make or break for them, is can they get Harper back in the fold? You know, will he come back to them? Or, you know, is that one of those places where the Yankees step up or, the Dodgers add even more payroll? You know, I mean, because you could see the Yankees coming to him going, hey, Bryce, we've got this 10-year deal worth $400 million. Would you like to sign it now? So, you know, that could be just, one of those make or break things that, you know, could change the landscape of how baseball, you know, baseball goes. So, they're in an
spot. Three seasons away. Or is it two?
I think it's two now. So.
Yeah, because 2019 is a free agent. Or free agency.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, Dan, when we had Mr. Fantasy stop by a little earlier, and I had kind of talked that you know, for whatever reason, the name Odubel Herrera kind of floated out on the trade market with the Phillies. Well, I got to start to wonder, Dan, if maybe this was just a setup with the team to try to get him to sign an extension, because the reports are he agreed on a 5-year deal worth $30.5 million.
Yeah, I was scrolling through trade rumors today, and, you know, if you follow us at Sports Time Radio, I retweeted the article out there, but the minute I saw that, I was kind of laughing about it.
Yeah, because that's where I originally saw it first. I saw it come up on the Twitter feed. You know, obviously it comes up at Sports Time Radio, and then it comes up on both our Twitter feeds. And, yeah, I was just kind of looking at it going, yeah, you know, I wonder if this was just kind of a tactic to get him to sign. So, but yeah, it's, you know, it seems like a pretty good deal for everybody. You know, I believe it comes with 2 option years. So he could be a Philly for a long, long time as they try to rebuild their team. And they did improve a little last year. We'll have to see if they can continue to do that. Herrera's only 25. So he'll actually have another opportunity to sign another big deal. Because he'll be 29, I guess, when this deal runs out. And then if they take both option years, you're only looking at a guy who's 31. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely an interesting signing. Now the tough part with the Phillies is they've got to see if they can sign, you know, a guy like Mikhail Franco. You know, he's another guy I think they would like to have around. And then I don't know how sold they are on some of their pitchers, but maybe a Vince Velasquez who kind of broke out last year. You know, maybe you wait and see see what he develops into. But, they seem to be working the right way, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, from the games they were up against the Cubs early in the season, they were really solid. I really like the offensive portion of it. Everyone on the field pretty much high quality. And they could hit, you know, they could bring out the power when they needed it. It was the pitching that kind of was their downside.
Yeah, and, you know, I know their pitching was really young last year, so with the exception of, you know, Jeremy Hellickson. So you wonder if another year under their belt, you know, helps these guys out, you know, as they grow and get better. Apparently we didn't even see their best prospect. You know, that's supposed to be that shortstop J.P. Crawford. They resisted to bring him up last year to start his major league clock. So you see if he wins, maybe he wins the job this year and he's the starting shortstop from day one.
Could be. I mean, I know how, you know, how the game works and all that good stuff, but I think at the same token, this would probably be a more positive year to bring him up where they might be maybe going chasing a little bit more. I guess sometimes we forget about them in the East. A couple of years.
Yeah, you know, I don't think either one of us are ready to call him a contender. You know, I don't even know if they're a contender for the wild card, but I think they're going to be improved. And, you know, like I said, they seem to be going about it the right way.
Yeah. Well, and if you remember, Vince Velasquez, I can't remember. I know it was up against the Cubs. I don't remember if it was early April or, you know, a little bit more towards the summer. But he had a bicep thing where he came out one game. I think he only threw the first inning, maybe went into the second, and that was it. So, you know, you hope he gets his injury out of the way. This offseason, he was able to take it easy and strengthen that arm.
Yeah, I believe they shut him down towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So, I know there were some injury concerns. But, you know, we had another – I want to put this as an interesting signing. You know, the Rockies signed a setup guy. They signed Mike Dunn. Let me see if I can get the terms of the deal here while I'm thinking about it. It looks like it's 3 years at $19 million with a vesting option for a fourth. Now, you know, Dan, there were a lot of contenders in. Are you surprised he ends up in Colorado?
No, they've been kind of making the silent moves as of late, try to improve their club. And I mean, you know, as long as they stay above 500, they could quite possibly make a run for it and steal the West. As good as the Dodgers and the Giants are, I mean, it's been kind of one of those weird divisions out West. I mean, you remember a couple of years ago when, out of nowhere, before Cranky came to Arizona, when they won the division, out of nowhere.
I guess I was just a little shocked that, I guess maybe anytime a pitcher chooses to go to Colorado, you always kind of wonder about it. Just one of those things. But oh, come on, not now. My computer's gonna be this guy now, so I have to have fun. But I know he had a really good year in Miami. What was he was, I think he was, well, here now here, it decides it's going to work for me now. 6-1 with a 3.40 ERA in 51 games. So, obviously a pretty, pretty good win total. For his career, he's got a 3.54 ERA. He's never made a career start. He's always been a bullpen guy. So they're picking up a veteran bullpen type arm to add. They have some solid relievers. Obviously it's a tough place to play, but it does look like slowly they're trying to build a pitching staff. Jake McGee got dinged up last year. He should be back as their closer, but they have, Adam Ottavino, who missed some time. I believe he's recovering, or he was recovering from Tommy John. He should be healthy now. And then what was the name I'm going to butcher here? Carlos F. Estevez, I'm going to guess it's pronounced here. He took over some of the closing duties. So, they'll have three guys with closing experience that Dunn can set up for. They still have the veteran Chad Qualls under contract. I don't know. Is this going to build for Colorado? I mean, do they have enough to contend now, or do you think maybe they're a starter or two away?
I think they're at least one starter away. Again, the thing that confuses me is the route they're going on why they gave up two whiskey. I don't understand. Did that free up?
Well, they had Trevor. And they had Trevor Story in the chute. So eventually you either got to move a young guy or, you got to deal him. And obviously he was having a great year until he got hurt. You wonder if he would have been National League Rookie of the Year had he not been injured. 97 games, he hit .272 with 27 home runs, 72 driven in. So, I don't know. I'm assuming they must have got some young talent back in that deal that they were high on. And obviously they rid themselves of the Jose Reyes contract after the issues he had last season. Pitching, I think, is still king, whether teams want to admit it or not. I know hitting is what draws fans. I get that. Hitting is always going to get the fan excitement, but I think pitching wins championships. So we'll have to see if they can build something or how it works out. But I didn't want to forget here today, Dan. You know, you've had a couple days off from picks, so I want to jump in here and make sure we get a couple picks out of you today. I'm not going to make you pick the Blackhawks game today because they're already down 2-0. They're out there in New York, so a little bit of an unfair advantage there. But quickly, here's the NHL schedule: the Anaheim Ducks at the Boston Bruins, the Blackhawks are at the Islanders, where they are losing 2-0. The Arizona Coyotes at the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Los Angeles Kings at the Detroit Red Wings, the New Jersey Devils at the St. Louis Blues, the Minnesota Wild at the Nashville Predators, the Florida Panthers at the Winnipeg Jets, and the New York Rangers at the Dallas Stars. Dan, who wins the game tonight, the Minnesota Wild or the Nashville Predators?
Ooh. Where are they at?
They are in Nashville.
I'm going to go with the Predators at home.
Going with the home team. All right. All right. The NBA schedule tonight, Dan, not a huge schedule. The Chicago Bulls are at the Milwaukee Bucks. The Indiana Pacers at the New Orleans Pelicans. The Portland Trailblazers at the Denver Nuggets. The San Antonio Spurs at the Phoenix Suns. And the New York Knicks at the Golden State Warriors. We're just going to do the TNT games then tonight, Dan. The Chicago Bulls at the Milwaukee Bucks are the first one. Who do you got winning that game?
I'm going to go with the Bulls.
All right. Now, the second TNT game, Dan, has the New York Knicks at the Golden State Warriors. I believe if I heard this correctly, Dan, Carmelo Anthony and Derrick Rose are both going to sit this game out with injury. I don't know if it mattered if either one of you, if it would affect your pick if either one of them played, but who are you going with tonight? Yeah, I already wrote that one down. So I didn't figure there was any way whatsoever. Would you have made a different pick had both Rose and Anthony played?
I would have made a different pick if Popovich was the coach and decided for some crazy reason to sit Steph, Durant, and the other guy.
Clay Thompson? So,
yeah.
You know, and then, you know, of course, I expect, you know, TNT to have a nice tribute to Craig Sager. He was their sideline reporter that passed away today at 65. And he'd been battling leukemia for the last few years. You know, if you're not a huge NBA fan, you remember Sager by the kind of funky suits he always wore and stuff. I always got anytime they went to him, I always got a chuckle out of what his wardrobe was. Mike Wilbon today did a great job of explaining it, that he was just part of the show, and that's why he dressed like that. So it'll be odd to not see him there, but, you know, I'm sure they'll have a nice tribute. He was there for a long time, so.
Yeah.
Are you going to dress like that in his honor, Dan?
I don't have any cool suits like that. I will.
I wouldn't be ashamed at all.
All
right, well, the music means Dan and I have to go. No, but don't worry, we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live. Hopefully Dan can catch a bus. You know the deal while we're away. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out all the stuff there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. You can get Dan's picks there, or they'll come up at Dan Z Man. Remember, there's 3 E's in that. Don't forget that. Very important. He's got the Predators winning tonight on the ice, and he's got the Bulls and the Warriors getting victories in the NBA. Get on that Twitter feed, let Dan know what you think. As always, thanks for listening live, and don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.